Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Derek walks you through how to win government jobs and contracts, effectively manage your government career, and best utilize government services. Every week on Fed Access, you'll learn about interesting federal agencies, workers, and jobs. Fed Access provides you the access you need to succeed in the federal government. And now your host, Derek T. Dortch.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Thank you for stopping by the show. Today, we're going to be talking about what's been going on in terms of the federal workforce, HR issues, downsizing possibly a federal agency. Some agencies are starting to offer some early outs and early retirements and everything else. And even in some news that some HR pros are offering a kind of a bleak assessment of federal managers. Don't have the real confidence in them that they should. There's so much going on around the federal workforce, and we have one of our regulars that are on Fed Access, Linda Ricks. She's co-CEO of Aview Technologies. They run aviewcentral.com, and they run a number of different things and provide some services to federal agencies. But she has always been very, very good in terms of understanding the pulse of what's going on, because they deal with the federal client, but then also kind of seeing things and looking towards the future about what's going on with federal HR issues. Linda, thank you for coming on Fed Access.
Hey, my pleasure.
Hey,
love to be here.
Always. Hey, talk to us. You know, you saw that article. Government Exec had the article about HR pros offering this bleak assessment of federal managers. And I think it kind of came out of a number of different surveys and everything else. And a lot of it really talked about the dynamic of talent, that they lacked leadership, that they lacked, you know, certain skills in order to lead the federal workforce. I mean, you and your business deals with that. You know, Aview Central deals with, you know, putting the applications out there and putting the announcements out there, and then having the backdrop so people can apply and for the HR people and the hiring managers to get the right people. What was your thoughts when you saw this?
Well, it's hard to say how this thing has been trending. You know, looks pretty dire in terms of the trend analysis that was provided in that article shows that the confidence level in management is dropping. I'm not sure that that's a fair assessment of at least what we see, what we tend to see with federal managers is, you know, they're put in the driver's seat and they have a gas pedal and a brake pedal, but they're not allowed to steer. And so
you need to break that down, Linda. You need to break that one down.
They're given a budget. They're given responsibility of what to do. Mm-hmm. They're given a mission. But the way government is organized, it makes it very hard for them to actually be able to execute the plan. You know, the one thing you hear from managers all the time is no. You know, they are told they can't, you know, the procurement process is overregulated and cumbersome, and it's impossible to buy stuff that you need. And the HR process is still horribly overregulated, and there isn't enough delegation to line managers, I think, for them to work a lot of the workforce management issues.
You know some of the history because you've been around the game for, I mean, for someone who's 25, you've been around for a while working on these issues since you were 13. But in this, you know, is the reason for the overregulation, I guess, understanding, because you used to work at OPM, is the reason for the overregulation, was it set up for protection of people? Or was this, I mean, what's the history of this, where, because now we do have this cumbersome HR process and this cumbersome hiring process that seems to, you know, that we always, every year, seem to be talking about that needs to be fixed.
Well, I think what hasn't been fixed is the HR or the hiring process. I mean, if you look at hiring process improvement, and the way agencies are even reporting on the speed of hire and things like that, the crux of the problem that never gets addressed is you don't have a modern personnel system that has kept pace with the rate of technological change. It has not kept pace with market. It is a constant problem that keeps all of these other processes from working efficiently.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, and a lot of that has to do with the fact that at the same time, people keep talking about, well, we need to make that better and we need to improve it. The real sticking point is you have to deregulate it to improve it. And if you don't deregulate it, and if you don't delegate, you know, we tell managers, you're responsible for this, you're in charge of this. And in some cases, the mission is greatly complicated, difficult to execute on. And while you're responsible for all these things, we don't trust you with these things. So we're going to over-control these things and keep you from making a mistake or keep you from being one of the, you know, the occasional bad guys that we have that make decisions that, are clearly acting unethically or unprofessionally to do that.
Right.
But, you know, everything in the federal government is based on the 1 or 2% of the people who have, in essence, acted in bad faith.
Right.
You know, and so we have this overregulated system, and yet at the same time we trust them with hundreds of millions of dollars, billions of dollars. We trust them with people's lives. We trust them with delivering service to citizens. We trust them with all of these other things, but we withhold the capability for them to be able, the freedom of motion and the capability for them to be able to fully meet what their mission demands. And I think that's the inherent conflict between those two things. Yes, you know, you should regulate, but on the other hand, you know, you're trusting people with...
You regulate but not stifle.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Looking at this article and just kind of going through it, it seems that this survey was HR leaders. And I guess, you know, you may be knowing, because you work with a lot of the HR leaders, the HR leaders, are their hands tied, you know, by OPM regulations, or are there enough? Because, you know, OPM will say, well, we have, you got flexible hiring authority, you got all these things, you got all these flexibilities, and you got this, that, and the other that you can use. Is it a matter of that the flexibilities are not enough? Is it a matter of that OPM, honestly, they say that that's good. They say that you have this, but it's not really true. I mean, you know, which one is real in terms of, you know, the HR people saying we can't bring in people the right way. Our hiring managers are complaining, and the OPM saying, well, we got all these flexibilities for you.
Well, I think that the what OPM characterizes as flexibilities, in fact, exist in the system.
Okay.
The problem you have is they're talking out of both sides of their mouth. On the one hand, you can have these flexibilities, but on the other hand, when we go in and audit you and report on your progress and give you a performance, you know, assessment of your program, we go back to, you know, the dinosaur days. We go back to regulations that all we care about in our enforcement are the kinds of things that don't reflect on encouraging and engaging agencies to use the flexibilities. So on the one hand, they say, well, you got all these flexibilities, you don't use them. On the other hand, we don't care if you use them because we're only going to measure you on these things. So your attention gets focused very narrowly, right?
Hmm.
So if you're an HR practitioner, what you know is that you're going to get measured on your adherence, your rigorous adherence to piecemeal regulation,
mm-hmm.
not your whether you've executed your program well or achieved certain results or done these other things. And I'll just give you a really quick example. You know, OPM has a practice of reading vacancy announcements and then picking apart language and saying, well, you didn't put this sentence here, and because you didn't put this sentence here, your vacancy announcement is erroneous.
Hmm.
And they use that term. So you're thinking, well, what's the focus, the vacancy announcement or the quality of the hire?
And the HR person is being basically their performance is based on if they are adhering to these OPM policies. I mean, because if you're saying, well, you're writing erroneous vacancy announcements, then that's they feel like, well, I can't do that because that's going to make me look crazy.
Right. And so you end up with, instead of focusing on the policy, they're focusing on the procedures. Right. It gets even worse because it goes down to this micromanagement.
Right.
And that's where I think the problem is. And the crux of the problem is that OPM should not be in the business of going through the process of procedural adherence, because whether or not you adhere to the procedure does not mean you've adhered to the regulation. It does not mean you've honored the policy, much less the spirit of the policy. And it does not mean you got the right result.
Linda, let me hold you right there. And I want to kind of pick up on this as we go back. I want to talk about do executive service agencies have a little bit more leeway room where they have been doing a better job at this? I want to keep this conversation going. We're talking to Linda Ricks. She's co-CEO of Aview Technologies. They run aviewcentral.com, and they also provide a number of different services for government agencies in terms of the HR management process and everything else. You can find them at, is it aviewtech.com?
Yes.
Is that right? Aviewtech.com.
Yes,
you can find them at aviewtech.com. We'll be right back. We're talking about HR issues, workforce issues, how to deal with this. We're talking about some of these articles that just recently came out about the bleak assessment about federal managers, and then also the downsizing of federal government and how we're going to deal with that. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Deutsch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Here's Jim Bradley, Assistant Public Printer, Government Printing Office, on the panel Reorganization and Restructuring in Government, sponsored by Deloitte.
It's mainly the technology that has changed and allowed us to do so much more with less and still keep our core mission, which has always been keep America informed about the federal government. That hasn't changed. Our delivery platforms and our method of getting there has changed over the years.
To listen to the whole program made possible by Deloitte, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
These days, federal agencies are exploring how to be more efficient, from cutting hidden costs to operating differently. Turn to Deloitte. We blend public sector experience and private sector insights to help defense and civilian agencies rethink, reduce, and restructure, all while strengthening your mission, so you can stretch budgets more and your staff less. See how at Deloitte.com/federal. We help government help America.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series Inside Government, brought to you in part by MetLife and Grantham University. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m., right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
If you are facing advanced illness or the end of life of a loved one, peace of mind is in short supply. Fortunately, pain-free comfort care is available from the Washington Home and Community Hospices, a not-for-profit organization with a holistic team of doctors, nurses, caregivers, social workers, chaplains, and volunteers. The team comes to you in your home or wherever you call home in D.C., Montgomery, or Prince George's County. For your peace of mind, call them day or night for a complimentary consultation at 866-234-7222.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth, every Saturday here on 1500 AM at 10 AM. Please join me this week for my special guest, Sarah Cato, Director of the Business Strategies Group at First Financial Group. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by the full-service law firm of Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman. Always at your side. Visit us on the web for more information about the firm at ofplaw.com.
There are those who dedicate themselves to a sense of honor, to a life of courage, and a commitment to something greater than themselves. They have always defended this nation and each other. They still do. The few, the proud, the Marines.
Some folks have been getting very creative in the ways they're saving money and trying to get ahead, but is it really worth it to try
extreme couponing?
Discount dentistry. Reality show contestant. You don't really need to go to such extremes. Just try ride-sharing and save gas. It's easy, and it'll help you save your money.
Commuter Connections provides free ride matching and commuter services in the Washington metropolitan region. Sign up at commuterconnections.org. That's commuterconnections.org, or call 800-745-RIDE.
GovEvents.com is your one-stop shop for government and military events worldwide.
with hundreds of event organizers posting their government and military-related conferences, trade shows, expos, webcasts, and more, you'll save time and energy using GovEvents to find events to attend, exhibit, or sponsor. Search for government and military events by date, location, keyword, organizer, or focus. It's free, so join today. GovEvents.com. That's GovEvents.com.
Welcome back to Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. You're listening to Derek T. Dortch on Fed Access. Today, if you just joined us, we have been talking about some federal HR issues, federal workforce issues. What's going on in terms of what we can anticipate for the rest of the year? And then 2013, there's been talk of downsizing. There have been talk about early outs, early buyouts from different agencies, GSA, Social Security, other agencies. And there's also this recent survey that came out about a bleak assessment that HR leaders have a bleak assessment of some federal managers as well that seems to be concerning to some people. We're talking to Linda Ricks. She's co-CEO of Aview Technologies. They run AviewCentral.com, which is a federal job site that you can also use, as well as USA Jobs. Linda, we were talking about this whole dynamic of these HR people having their hands tied, or they're being kind of their compliance has to be with these kind of very, very narrow OPM rules and guidelines sometimes that really goes away from necessarily the process and maybe hiring the right person, but really just goes into, you know, did you do this or did you put this right wording into a job announcement or certain things like that, and them grading them on that rather than the result, so
right.
to say.
Right.
That's what I'm hearing from you. It's how do we, you know, I know accepted service agencies have a little bit more leeway room. Is that more of the way to go?
I think, frankly, and this may
uh-oh.
Seem radical, but
you paused for a second.
Yeah, I did. But I think that the idea of a single uniform human resources system across the government is. The time for that has gone by so many years ago.
Okay.
And I think that the idea of having a single uniform business process and set of policies, regardless of agency mission and regardless of agency's, you know, workforce management needs, is simply not tenable going forward. It's not a sustainable process, and I recognize that that's a bit controversial. But I don't, you know, people always want to fix the pay system. They want to go to pay banding, or they want to go to something like that. I think what you do is you say, you know, there are certain statutory things like veterans preference, for example. It's a statutory entitlement based on the Veterans Preference Act. That's something that's uniform across government. In one way or the other, right?
Right.
But when you look at the procedures, when you look at the appointing authorities, when you look at these other things, having a single uniform structure is not a sustainable option given modern workforce management issues.
Let me ask this question. Why people will hear that and then somebody will ask the question, well, why not? Why can't we have a uniform thing across the whole government? Is it because the missions are so different from agencies? Is it because because we have so many different cultures or different dynamics that, you know, some agencies have to hire IT people, some agencies have to do this? I mean, why do you think that's not a good model anymore?
Because of the mission difference,
okay.
largely.
Okay.
And also, when you look at the mission difference, it drives the composition of skill.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, one of the basic frameworks here is we talk about we have chief human capital officers. We have human capital management programs. But we don't. We have personnel offices. We don't have human capital management programs where the talent is an asset in the agency that is effectively converted to value.
Hmm.
Okay? We don't have a human capital management program that looks at it that way. And the reason we don't is because we have all this procedural micromanagement. And so the human capital programs of agencies are not agile. They're non-responsive.
Mm-hmm.
They can't take an agency and really make it, you know, an employer of choice, really capitalize on bench strength. and moving people into the organization and up through the organization and creating a value proposition for the organization based on its human capital assets,
mm-hmm.
right? And so I think the notion of having a centralized personnel management system worked, you know, when it was invented in, you know, what, the 1920s?
Sure.
You know, and
But because we have so much now, so much technology and so many other
yep.
tools at our disposal, that's no longer the best model.
It's not the best model. And it is also not a good idea. I'm looking at one of the other articles that you sent forward, but it's also not a good idea to piecemeal and fragment a part of the system away. So people always want to go to pay banding. Every 3 years, somebody wants to go to pay banding somewhere,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's this idea of, well, why don't we get rid of the general schedule and we'll all go to pay banding? And, you know, we'll do that. It has failed systematically since Jimmy Carter was president.
Right.
You know, this idea of compartmentalizing or piecemealing part of the system. So I think if you really want to make the federal workforce a modern, market competitive, adaptive structure that people want to work in because it provides, you know, they have the underlying feeling that they provide value, then I think you do away with a single uniform structure.
Let me play devil's advocate then.
Okay.
All right. And you know, you will hear some people who will say a couple of different things. What they'll say, well, one, how do we monitor these agencies and ensure that they're doing the right thing in terms of, and maybe this is just a matter of that kind of narrow-minded dynamic, because people just think that all federal agencies need to be monitored by one agency or something like that. You know, some people will say, well, how do we monitor these agencies to make sure their hiring practices are going good? Two, they'll say, well, you know, people are already frustrated with this, you know, this federal hiring process anyway. Mm-hmm. If we do away and kind of maybe do away with the USA jobs or you know, everybody's doing their own thing, which, you know, truthfully is just like the regular job search. I mean, that's just like every
right.
other job search. I mean, it's not, you know, but I think people have gotten their minds, you know, I'm
mm-hmm.
just thinking about perception. People have gotten their minds that, you know, I just need to go to this one place to find all government jobs, which is really not true. You know,
right.
I mean, that's kind of a falsehood, because accepted service agencies don't have to put jobs on USA jobs.
Right.
So, I mean, when you hear people, do we need to change the paradigm, change the thought process of the public?
I don't think we have changed the paradigm of the public.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have changed the paradigm of the federal employee.
Okay.
The public doesn't care. Frankly, you know, if you want a job with the Fortune 100, you do not go to a central job board and have your application, you know, passed around or have a uniform application process passed.
Right, you go to that company.
You go to that company.
Mm-hmm.
And the same should be true for the government.
Mm-hmm.
You should not. The central job board, first of all, is woefully ineffective. It's not a good recruitment tool. And the truth is, you can go to that central job board and you can see all the job postings, just as you could go to Career Builder or Monster in the private sector and see all the job postings, or Indeed.com, or, you know, any of these big job boards, right?
Right.
You can see all the job postings for the Fortune 100 because they're aggregated there. And that's all USA Jobs does, is it aggregates job postings.
Mm-hmm.
It does nothing to help an applicant with a uniform application process to apply for each of those postings.
Sure, sure.
And one of the things, you know, that we went away from in the, you know, 80s was the, you know, SF standard form 171.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went to an optional form 612. And then we said, oh, no, under hiring process reform, we're just going to be taking in resumes. Okay, that's fine. Then that, you know, creates the illusion of comparability with private sector, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So they take in resumes, we take in resumes, except the resumes are useless to government agencies because government agencies have to have so much more information about you to apply each one of these individual procedures.
And that's part of the overregulation that you're talking about.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why a single uniform system is not a good idea, because you're for oversight, you already have oversight. You have the Merit Systems Protection Board. They are the designated oversight party. you have unions.
Mm-hmm.
Unions are the designated employee representatives.
You've got EEO.
You got EEOC.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have everything you need from an oversight capacity. So having a single agency conduct oversight on, you know, whether you crossed the T's and dotted the I's in your vacancy announcement makes no sense.
Hold that thought real quick. We need to take a quick break. I want to keep this conversation going because I think this is, you know, compelling in terms of a dynamic of maybe the thinking of how federal agencies should possibly go forward and not necessarily having everybody go with this centralized thought process, but just have everybody go through the process of how do we effectively hire for our agency? Because that's what we're talking about right now. We're talking to Linda Ricks. She's co-CEO of AVIEW Technologies. You can find them at aviewtech.com, but you can also, they also run a site where you can find federal job postings at aviewcentral.com. We'll be right back after this break and keep on talking about these federal issues, these federal workforce issues. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Deutsch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Ask the CIO is brought to you by CenturyLink.
Thomas Bayer is the Securities and Exchange Commission's CIO. He says he had to be creative to find savings in his IT budget.
We cut about $15.5 million out of our operations and maintenance budget last year, and we have what we call spend-to-save projects, where we spend money in order to save our expense budget and manage that as tightly and carefully as possible.
Listen to Ask the CIO at 10:30 Thursday mornings on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
This audio puzzle is brought to you by CenturyLink Government.
Let's see, growing digital needs go here. So many different applications over here. So where does IT budget stretch to the limit go?
Game over.
Fortunately, CenturyLink Government has an answer with its vast portfolio of cloud services so customers get the right mix of performance and features. CenturyLink, solutions that work, service you can count on.
For a free risk assessment, visit CenturyLink.com/federal.
I'm Ronnie Mervis. Attention all golfers. Swing that club for a chance to win $1 million at the Mervis Diamond Million Dollar Invitational. Join me for a fabulous day of golf on Wednesday, September 12th at Whiskey Creek in Frederick, Maryland, designed by Ernie Els. You could walk away with a cool $1 million prize or win a Mervis Diamond, Tacori Fashion Jewelry, or a trip to South Africa, courtesy of South African Airways, and more. Won't she just love you for that? Everyone will be at this prestige event. Play golf with your best clients or just bring your buddies for a fun day and great networking. The entry fee includes breakfast, dinner, and awards reception. Proceeds go to Susan G. Komen Breast Cancer Awareness. Your mother, wife, girlfriend, sister, and daughter will thank you for your support of a worthy cause. Ladies, send your men to play. Don't delay. Get in while you can. Corporate sponsors and their guests are welcome. I can see you sinking those putts at the Million Dollar Invitational on September 12th. Register today at MervisDiamond.com/golf. Again, that's MervisDiamond.com/golf.
The year was 1941. America was about to go to war. Rosie the Riveter had not yet become an icon. But one October morning, Marie Kalk and 18 other women walked into the new Glenn L. Martin airplane plant in Omaha looking for jobs. At about the same time, Bernice Olsen went to work at the Lockheed factory in Burbank. None of them thought they were going to make history, but they did. Along with nearly a 500,000 other women who joined the war effort. Because they were doing more than building workhorse aircraft like the B-26 bomber and the B-38 Lightning. By answering their nation's call, Marie, Bernice, and the others blazed a trail that their daughters and granddaughters would one day follow, all the way to the top. Their story is our story. See it and others unfold at LockheedMartin.com/100 years.
It's about smiles. It's about laughter. It's about going out and making a difference in the life of a child. You don't have to get mad. You just have to go mad. GoMad2011.com is a website dedicated to supporting the Make-A-Wish Foundation. At GoMad, our mission is simple, to go out and make a difference. So how can you help? Visit the Wish Wall on GoMad2011.com and make a contribution today. Or find out how you can donate with a simple text message. Do it now so that we can continue to touch the lives of children with life-threatening conditions by granting their wishes.
Casts, of course, immobilize broken limbs while they heal, but there's usually collateral damage to healthy muscle that's weakened by also being forced to sit idle. An experimental cast would be custom fitted in puzzle-like pieces held together by locking devices that doctors could detach at various stages of healing and...
By choosing which pieces they want to remove can allow your bones to stay mobilized as desired, but let your muscles move in certain directions.
Kelly Anderson, a University of Virginia engineering student who co-invented the puzzle cast, hopes this will increase blood flow, reduce soreness, and speed recovery for a wide variety of broken bones.
Fractures have slightly different healing mechanisms, so you can customize it based on a particular type of fracture.
Anderson's team is working with surgeons and physical therapists to perfect the puzzle cast. She says it could be available in a couple years. To find out more, please go to www.nae.edu/radio. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Deutsch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we're talking about federal workforce issues. The hiring issues always seems to be an issue about a broken system with the federal government. But we're also talking about federal downsizing. Some agencies are providing early buyouts, trying to not necessarily encourage, well, they're trying to encourage some people to possibly take some early outs, maybe because of some budget issues and everything else. But there is some concern that these early buyouts will cause a dynamic of not having enough people to do the work. There are so many different federal issues right now. We're talking to Linda Ricks. She's the co-CEO of Aview Technologies, and they run aviewcentral.com, which is a site that you can find federal jobs, but they provide a number of HR and other tools to federal agencies. So she knows this business very, very well, and she's been doing it for quite some time. Linda, making you the guru of HR workforce issues in the federal government. But, you know, we were talking, you're kind of putting this new thought process, and maybe this needs to be a paper that goes out on a think tank level of saying, you know, how federal agencies should operate and start hiring going forward. Your process and thinking is that it shouldn't be just a centralized process, that every agency should begin looking at how they should best hire. And with all of that, because, you know, we heard about hiring reform, about, you know, that the applications were going to be plain language. I mean, the vacancy announcements were going to be plain language. Right. We're going to get away from KSAs. And the truth of it is, you go on USA Jobs, and none of that has been the reality. You know, is that part of what you're also talking about, where some agencies, if we get away from this whole kind of just micromanaged process, then agencies can now really begin going through the process of writing job announcements like the private sector or other things?
Well, I think that's part of it. But more importantly, I do think that one of the things, and let's just take the issue of the buyouts right now,
mm-hmm.
and the threat of having to downsize the government due to sequester and other budget unknowns that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
So if you take a look at that and you say, okay, fundamentally the problem, and you pointed me to this article in the Social Security Administration,
mm-hmm.
and you know, looking at the potential for, I forget how many thousands of buyouts,
yeah.
Related to that, right? So I'm looking at that, and I'm thinking, well, you know.
You're talking about like 9,000 employees.
9,000, mm-hmm. yeah. So here's what happens is just like in the private sector, if a large company is going to do downsizing, there's a notification period. It varies state by state, but basically you have to notify people in advance that this might be happening. So in the government, because the federal workforce, there's no agility in the federal workforce. So what happens is the way federal workforce management matters have been dealt with is there's a security protocol that provides an employee a sense of security, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which has to do with notifications, a structured process. It has to do with why do people choose a career in public service, and a lot of times is because there is more job security associated with that than you find in the private sector. Okay. But what happens is the result of that also is the federal government does not have what I call burstable bandwidth. Okay. So what happens is the federal government can't, like SSA, can't say, okay, we're having a tough budget trough, we got to get through this, let's shrink immediately, and then let's grow as soon as we need to, because obviously Social Security, the demand for Social Security services is only going to increase, right?
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
So you know you're going to come out of that trough. But the government, because of this conflict, in essence has to provide a stable workforce regardless of the demand for service. And so in the private sector, you shrink, you grow based on demand and based on your product sales and, you know, a whole bunch of other stuff. In the private sector, that process allows you to be financially responsible and to know that you're not making a commitment that is a 20-year commitment at the point of hire.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
So I look at it as the federal hiring process to me is can be characterized as you go into a speed dating round and you come out married. Okay,
right.
You go through this very very process that you're trying to get the best candidates in, but no matter what happens, you're in for 20, 25 years,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so when you look at SSA and you look at the whole approach to the buyouts and everything else, which generally, you know, a lot of people are in a situation where they would leave if they could get a buyout.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But you're now going to permanently cut down the workforce, and then how fast can you ramp it back up when things improve?
Right.
Right, and that's the part of the process where I think that is the difference between personnel management and human capital management. In human capital management, you have methodologies, you have tools, you have a plan
mm-hmm.
To do those things quickly.
Mm-hmm.
In personnel management, it's like, well, no, it takes, you know, you want to run a RIF, you're looking at 6 months.
Right. Right, right.
You know,
right, yeah, yeah.
It's
yeah,
crazy.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Look at BRAC.
Right. That's BRAC was years. Yeah.
Yeah. So right. The first thing you have to have is enough funding to pay for the process.
Mm-hmm.
And then that usually means you have to cut more people than you would have to cut because it's taking you so long to get through the process.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So a bunch more people lose their jobs that don't need to lose their jobs.
Right. Right.
That's the part of the whole framework that I think is not done effectively.
And then you
well.
Get another report saying that now the workforce is inadequate to handle what needs to be done, and then it gets to the point of now we got to ramp back up hiring again, rather than just kind of creating a solution that really makes sure that you're still able to handle the workload, but, you know, adjust the agency by the right, you know, right sizing certain things rather than just kind of doing, you know, a kind of a blunt force of kicking a whole bunch of people out or riffing them and then right. having to go back through the whole process of emergency. You know, we're now at a crisis mode again.
Right.
Right.
And, you know, I go back to President Obama in the process of trying to get health benefits to the wildland firefighters.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In government, and you look at, okay, so there's a new public notice period for, you know, the regulation to change to enable that group of people to get health insurance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my thought process is, well, why don't you give everybody who's in that status health insurance?
Right.
Why shouldn't every temporary employee get benefits, health insurance and retirement?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're used mm-hmm. to the 401k in the private sector.
Mm-hmm.
Government's got TSP.
Mm-hmm.
Why not make that a mobile process?
Right.
Right. And then let's get benefits to everybody so that when we do have to expand and contract, we're not doing so by, you know, not honoring our commitments.
So we're talking about let me put it this way. What is the reality of, I mean, is it to change this HR process? Mm-hmm. Is it because of the, you know, how in government we see this a lot. There's a lot of control. People
right.
don't want to lose control of their kingdom. Mm-hmm. Is that what we're fighting against? A dynamic of people losing control of certain kingdoms if we do let, you know, just a number of different agencies now begin their own processes?
I think that what you're saying is control of the kingdom. You know, we've never created an agency that we later abolished because it reached end of life. right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you have that. I think the second thing you have is the lack of trust.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's really disturbing to me about the manager survey, is what it actually communicates is we don't trust those people.
Hmm.
Well, we trust them over here with your property, your life.
With millions of dollars.
Yeah, billions of dollars.
Billions of dollars.
Trillions of dollars.
Right, exactly.
Right. We trust all that.
But we can't trust you to hire the right person.
But, yeah, we don't trust you to manage people.
Sure.
You know, so to me, that's the two things.
Let me take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about what's going on at AVIEW. I know you guys do some interesting things. I want to talk about, especially dealing with agencies who are, you know, concerned about the budget. I know you guys did something interesting. I want to hear your take on it and how agencies responded to it when we come back. We're talking to Linda Ricks. She's co-CEO of AVIEW Technologies. You can find them at aviewtech.com. They also run the site aviewcentral.com, which is a job site you can find federal jobs on and then also apply through that system. We're talking about federal HR issues, and we're going to keep on talking about them when we come back. We listen to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
What is national competitiveness? How can federal budget reforms improve the nation's fiscal future? And how could creating a strategic approach to budget decisions enhance national competitiveness? Join host Michael Keegan as he explores these questions and much more with Steve Redburn, contributor to Governing to Win, next week on the Business of Government Hour.
Congratulations on landing the job. I'm really excited for you.
Thanks. How's your search going?
The job market's tight. I mean, I can barely get an interview.
Yeah.
And I've got student loans to deal with. You're lucky, you know. The National Guard paid your loans off.
Luck? The Guard was a smart decision, one you can still make.
The National Guard Student Loan Repayment Program can pay up to $50,000 of your existing student loans. Get the details at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the D.C. National Guard, aired by the Maryland, D.C. Delaware Broadcasters Association and this station.
Change is certain and the future inevitable. SAIC is ready. We're moving forward to meet the future head on, striving to keep it secure. Secure for our families' health by leveraging technology to enhance patient care. Secure for our communities by helping make energy cleaner and more reliable. Secure for our world by helping protect freedom. SAIC, securing the future. Learn more at SAIC.com/securing the future.
Hi, this is O'Donna Matthews. What does 3 decades of service add up to? For the Capital Area Food Bank, it includes these important numbers. Distributing 25 million pounds of food to nearly 500,000 people through a network of 700 partner agencies. 30 years, it's a long time, but the mission continues to make sure that no one is left hungry. To learn more, contribute, or volunteer, visit capitalareafoodbank.org.
Today's Human Capital Management Report brought to you by the Graduate School.
New training is on the way for all airport security managers. Over the next 18 months, supervisory transportation security officers across the country will have to take the new TSA course. Deputy Administrator John Holinsky told a House Homeland Security Subcommittee the course will focus on how supervisors can develop a responsible and professional workforce and establish a high standard of performance and integrity among airport screeners.
How do you meet mission-critical objectives when your resources have been reduced? Enhancing the efficiency of your current workforce may be the answer. For more than 90 years, the federal government has turned to Graduate School USA for its training needs. Why not optimize the talent you already have with quality training from Graduate School USA? For more information, visit graduateschool.edu or call 888-744-GRAD. That's 888-744-GRAD.
At Kaiser Permanente, we're about keeping you connected. So we made My Health Manager. It connects you to your doctor, your prescriptions, your test results, and your health records right at home. But what if you aren't home? What if you're visiting family? Or at the beach or on a business trip? What if you're on a steep mountain trail, you know, with loose gravel and one way in and one way out? Now there's the Kaiser Permanente mobile app. It connects you right from your smartphone. You can email your doctor while visiting family, refill your prescription from the beach, take your medical records on a business trip, or schedule, say, a little checkup from that steep trail. No matter where you are, we'll keep you connected without keeping you from any of life's adventures. Get the app by searching Kaiser Permanente in the Android market or Apple App Store, or bookmark kp.org on your smartphone. Kaiser Permanente. Thrive.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated, 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852. Apple is a registered trademark of Apple Inc. Android is a trademark of Google Inc.
When every moment matters and a hand reaches out, when someone gives blood and a life is saved, that moment when heartbreak turns to hope, you're there through the American Red Cross. Every day, the Red Cross responds to nearly 200 neighborhood emergencies, and your support makes it possible. Use this moment to join us today. Visit redcross.org.
As a manager, you need to know how you can make your organization more efficient. Listen for Management Friday on Federal News Radio. We bring you information on the keystone of success for any agency or business. Friday mornings at 10, listen for AFGE's perspective on inside government. Next at 11, Shaw, Bransford, and Roth talk about the legal implications of management decisions on Fed Talk. And at noon, listen for Fed Access with Derek T. Dort to hear what career options may be available. Management Friday, only on Federal News Radio, 1500.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we've been talking about federal workforce issues and what's going on, downsizing, a new report that came up about federal leaders and HR managers' confidence in them, what's going on with these early buyouts, the budget issues, federal workforce and hiring. How do we change the system? We're talking to one of the experts on this, Linda Rick. She's co-CEO of Aview Technologies. They have a number of different tools that they provide to federal agencies in order to help them manage their HR processes. And they also run a site called AviewCentral.com. Linda, I know that you guys did something interesting, ran an ad in Politico, yeah. Kind of putting out kind of a money back guarantee almost, of saying, what did you guys say to these different agencies? What was going on?
Well, we were watching this, and you know, the climate of uncertainty is always tough on everybody. And so we wanted to kind of express ourselves. We view ourselves as part of the federal community, and we view our clients as our partners. Through the process, and so we wanted to communicate that. And so what we did was we came up with what we call the AVU Budget Protection Plan, and basically ran ads that says we're in this together. So if Congress makes cuts to your budget, we will match that cut in our fees. We think that every agency that sells products and services to other agencies and every other vendor ought to do the same thing.
You know, that's a pretty heavy heavy thing right there in terms of what was your response? I mean, did you get a number of agencies like seeing this and really kind of, you know, calling you and saying, wow?
Yeah, we did.
Okay.
We did the ad in Politico, and then we also sent out loosely is called an AVU, budget protection plan kit, which consists of a coupon, and you just cut out the coupon and you put in your budget and send it to us.
It's like going to McDonald's or something.
Yeah,
they have a coupon with you. So
like,
right.
Yeah, I want to get one free
exactly,
day or something.
Right, right.
We sent that out, and I think the most striking comment I heard was from a customer who just turned to us, and she said, "That is so thoughtful."
Wow.
You know, I think it's partially it is real money. So people are, you know, obviously they need to feel like they can, ask us to be responsive. And so rather than have that become, an issue of that we're contracted for this, so therefore that must be what it is. We're communicating that you can ask.
Right.
And it will be okay. And we're not going to take offense at that. And the other thing that I thought was great about it was it does create, I think, a nice dynamic of it is possible to partner with people who provide you goods and services.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is possible to do that.
You're focusing on a kind of the thought process of the contractor, not just being a contractor, but like you said, a partnership. I mean, this is, part of the federal community, that the federal community is not federal just agencies, but it's also the contractors and all those involved in it. This is all federal.
Right. And everybody gets funding from the same source. Mm-hmm. Right? And everybody is interdependent on working through tough times.
Do you think that, and I know we're still kind of contemplating, but are you hearing from federal agencies that there is this real concern about just major reductions in the budget and how they're going to really operate and how they're going to kind of, do what they used to do with maybe less funding, maybe less people? Are you hearing that?
Yes, I think there's a genuine concern and a tremendous amount of anxiety. It's the unfortunate thing if you're a federal, executive and you're in charge of an agency, you get every tool you have is a blunt axe. There's no finesse. So when it comes to budget cuts, it's very hard to take, a precise scalpel or laser-like approach to it. You really end up with things like, well, I guess we'll just do across the board. Or, there's a classic methodology. The first thing we cancel is training. Then we cancel travel. Then we stockpile vacancies, not fill them because we have so much uncertainty about whether we can meet our payroll.
Right.
Right. And then we look at contractors and we cut contractors. And then we look at, things like paper and supplies and, things like that. And then, eventually we get around to looking at what do we need to do in terms of the workforce and can there be money saved there? And that's where, you can just follow the methodology. The TikTok on that just goes down perfectly every single time.
Right. Right.
And so people who need to travel for their work can't. You end up with a very unbalanced situation, but I have a lot of empathy for federal executives and managers that are trying to deal with this because, like I said, every tool they have is a blunt object. And it's very, very hard to do programmatic cuts that need to be made or to do things, in a very, nicely packaged and clean way that makes sense.
We got only about a few seconds to go, but what the climate of political, it always happens that federal workers get beat up on all the time. I mean, what's your take on that real quick? I mean, in terms of politicians always beating up on the federal government, this, that, and the other, but then they got to use the federal government to get what they got to get what they need to get done. Do you sense demoralization sometimes?
Yes. No doubt about it. And I think the more partisan and the more fractured the political scene is, the harder and harder it is to have smooth working relationships and for people to feel like they add value.
Right.
If they're and part of it is because you've seen it over the years, berating challenging the federal workforce. The way that it is done is, routine. I mean, it's the same, but the lack of appreciation and recognition makes that extraordinarily difficult if you're an employee.
Right. We hope this system changes. We're going to catch back up with you, Linda, soon. So as we're monitoring what's going on, I want to hear about how this the political ad and how that whole cut it down if there are some budget cuts. I want to hear how that works out. We'll catch up with you in a few weeks and find out what's going on with you and then also catch up with some more issues. Thank you for your insight as usual.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
You've been listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch, Friday afternoons at noon, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.